RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana Puss, the headlines. Minister Luhut affirms giant seawall is very important. Indonesia and Pakistan to develop the existing potential of both countries. Now the news in detail. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan affirmed that the giant seawall project in North Jakarta must be completed immediately. He also remarked that there had been studies on the construction of a seawall since 1990 during President Suharto's administration. In the study, the seawall is a form of the government's care for the people. In addition, Minister Luhut said that buildings being constructed in central Jakarta have caused the sea level to rise and caused the land to lower. As a result, Jakarta residents will face difficulties in finding clean water. Minister Luhut also affirmed that the giant seawall project is showing good progress. He added that further study related to the giant seawall construction will be completed in the next 2 months by involving Indonesia, South Korea, and the Netherlands. Indonesia and Pakistan, which had been cooperating since long time ago, continue to develop or unlock the great potential possessed by both countries. The potential is the cooperation in the private sectors. This was expressed by Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara in his speech at the Independence Day of Pakistan at the Pakistan Embassy in Jakarta on Thursday.
That we will have a greater interaction and engagement between our private sector and hence the trade and investment cooperations. Now with closer ties and networking, it is time for both of us to unlock the potentials.
Minister Rudiantara added Indonesia and Pakistan had previously cooperated in the private sector, one of which is in the oil plantation sector where the business people of Pakistan contribute to the management of the sector. Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has said that Papua will get 5% from the divestment of copper and gold miner PT Freeport Indonesia, which is required by law to release 51% of their shares to the Indonesian entities. Freeport divestment is part of what is being discussed by representatives of the government and Freeport Indonesia, a subsidiary of United States-based Freeport McMoRan, in connection with the conversion of the contract of what COW into a special mining license, EUPT. He further said that the shares for Papuan people would never be tampered with and Freeport would pay the dividends to Papua. When meeting with President Joko Widodo on Wednesday, Papuan Governor Lukas Nmb demanded 10% share of Freeport Indonesia. Freeport Indonesia has refused to accept a government demand and it converted its COW into a special mining license, EUPT. The government is ready to build an integrated maritime purse and fishery center, SKPT, in Nunukan, North Kalimantan in 2017. Maritime Affairs and Fishery Minister Susi Pujastuti said the development of center was aimed at realizing the government's program to make Indonesia the world maritime axis. The minister added that Indonesia, which is washed by four oceans with huge and diverse maritime and fishery potential, must be guarded, especially its outermost islands and broader areas. Marissa Susi said that SKPT would be focused on the development of small islands and border areas in which the maritime and fishery sector is the prime economic driver. Apart from Nunukan, the government through the Maritime Affairs and Fishery Ministry will also build SKPT in Saban, Aceh, Mentawai, Natuna, Riau Islands, Talaut, North Sulawesi, East Sumbawa and Rutan Dau, East Nusa Tenggara, Saum Laki and Morotai, Maluku and Biak Numpur, Merauke and Mimika in Papua. The Australian Embassy in Jakarta launched a new education information center, namely the Ek Aussie Bangat Corner at Bina Nusantara University, Anggrek Campus in West Jakarta on Thursday. The small corner located inside Binus Anggrek's library features books, television and computers that may be utilized to look for information about studying in Australia. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson said that the place is created to encourage Indonesian students to pursue Australian education by providing relevant information. International Director of Binus Global, Karen Imand, hopes that the corner helps informing students' mindsets. She also stated that the creation of the Ek Aussie Bangat Corner was in line with the Binus curriculum, which requires students to experience at least one international activity, be it in the form of attending a guest lecture or even studying abroad before they graduate. The Jakarta General Election Commission, KPU Jakarta, has planned to implement an online system to check voters' identities for the upcoming Jakarta gubernatorial election, runoff on April 19th. KPU Jakarta Commissioner Muhsidik said that the online check-in will allow the commission to record voters who do not vote at their supposed polling station as designated by the final voter list. The system was planned following cases during the first round election where many voters were included on additional voter lists when they have actually been registered on final voter lists at different polling stations. With the online check-in system, officers of the polling stations will be able to confirm whether or not a voter should have been listed on the additional voter list. The United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, said Indonesia has been ranked 113 among 188 countries on the Human Development Index, HDI, comprising per capita income, life expectancy and education indicators. The increase in Indonesian HDI with 0.712 for men and 0.66 for women is driven by some factors such as a 135.4% rise in the per capita income, increase in the life expectancy by 5 to 8 years, and an average increase of up to 4.6 years in the period of education. To ensure that human development has a positive impact on all Indonesians, the UNDP has proposed four strategies to be implemented at the national regional level, such as special policy for disadvantaged groups and specific measures for groups with particular needs, in this case women. Furthermore, it is necessary to ensure resilience in order to realize human development and to empower the disadvantaged groups. The last item, 44 divers clean up the underwater area around Nusa Dua and Tanjung Benoa, two of the most popular destinations for snorkeling and waterbirds in Bali. The divers from Nusa Dua Reef Foundation and the RF Divers Association and Water Sport Operators collected 25 sacks of plastic and other non-organic trash from this area, which is rich in species of coral and fish. Varya Mahutasoid of the NDRF said on Friday that every year 8 tons of plastic trash ends up in the sea in the area, threatening marine life, harming seabirds, sea mammals, and killing fish and coral reefs. The trash was often carried away by currents, pulling beaches and disrupting tourist activities along the coastline. During the World Ocean Summit in Bali last month, the United Nations Environment Programme UNEP declared war on plastic trash in the ocean through his worldwide campaign of hashtag clean seas. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Various significant events that occurred this week have been reviewed by some of the leading media published in Jakarta in their editorial and are outlined in the press review. Let's begin with the Business Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Wednesday, 22nd March, wrote, "The state should be there to protect consumers." Low consumers' protection seems to be a serious concern of President Joko Widodo. The problem was discussed specifically in the limited cabinet meeting on consumer protection at the presidential palace on Tuesday. The president's attention towards the effort to provide optimal protection of consumer rights should be appreciated because it can be a balancing of various government policies that have been more focused on national industrial development and increased competitiveness. Meanwhile, consumers as part of the supply chain tends to be ignored. Business Indonesia wrote consumers' relatively weak positions against the manufacturer looks so real. In many disputes between consumers and producers, almost always the consumer who is in a weak position and lost. Therefore, the assertion of President Joko Widodo that the state must be present to provide effective protection to consumers should be the attention of all ministries and relevant agencies, including law enforcement. Turning to Media Indonesia newspaper, which is in its editorial on Monday, 20 March, wrote, "Refuse to weaken. Efforts to make the Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK into a paper tiger in suppressing the theft of the state money continues. Various modes and ways have been made to make the commission a weak institution, from changing the rule that make its authority trim, amputated, or at least dwarfed. The goal, if it could be achieved, is that corruptors and those who are pro-corruption no longer need to worry with the commission legal snares. Media Indonesia wrote the socialization of the revision on Act No. 30 of 2002 on the Corruption Education Commission, currently ongoing in the parliament, feared to be a part of the activities to pave the way towards weakening the commission. Refusal of the revised law also comes out from the Indonesian Rector and Professor Forum, who last week visited the commission building in Jakarta. Earlier, the House of Representatives on February 10, 2017 completed the draft on the law revision with five crucial issues that have a great potential to weaken the commission, including the establishment of a commission's supervisory board with the members elected by the parliament. Intercepts on confiscation by the commission should obtain a permit from the Board of Trustees first, and recruitment of investigators should only come from the police and prosecutor institutions. According to Media Indonesia, the law revision actually is legitimate, even a must, if it aims to strengthen the prevention and eradication of corruption in the country. However, Media Indonesia rejected the revision if it has a hidden agenda to weaken the Corruption Education Commission. Well, listeners, that was the press review of RRIW Service Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. Well, we begin with an event which occurred on March 1945, when the United States withdrew its forces from Somalia. The United States was forced to withdraw its forces from Somalia after losing. After Muhammad Siad Barre regime collapsed, the agreement to establish a coalition government in Somalia hit an impasse and then continued with the outbreak of civil war. In December 1992, to protect its importance, the United States sent its troops to the country as United Nations troops. Unexpectedly, United States troops got first resistance from Somali's people. Hundreds of Somali people were killed, while the number of United States troops who were killed reached 100 persons. Because the American position was increasingly squeezed, the United States decided to withdraw from Somalia. The next event was in 1995, when Ward Cunningham created the password of Wiki. Wiki is a website which allows users to add or change the content of the site. WikiWikiWeb is the first name of software Wiki in cyberspace. It was introduced for the first time by Ward Cunningham on 25th March 1995 as a gift to Portland Patent Repository, a collector enterprise software design patents. Cunningham is a founder of the idea and application creator of the first Wiki engine. WikiWiki comes from the turn of Hawaii language for the fast and super fast. And the last event was in 2002, when earthquake in Afghanistan occurred. A series of earthquakes in Afghanistan, which kept shocking since 25th March until 26th, 2002, killed 1,500 people and injured 4,000 people of Afghanistan. Meteorology agency in Strasbourg predicted magnitude earthquake on average 5.8 on a Richter scale, from the epicenter around 120 kilometers in the north of Kabul, while meteorology agency in Peshawar, Pakistan predicted magnitude earthquake on average 6.0 in a Richter scale. Spokesperson of the United Nations, Rebecca Richards, said that the worst area was small town of Nahrind in Bangalan province. More than 200 houses were destroyed. The victims died due to injury, lack of air supplies, especially blankets, because the earthquake had temperature below freezing at night. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Radio Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's on Melinda Gates studies the progress of family planning and dengue mosquito control in Indonesia. So stay tuned. President Joko Widodo on Thursday, 23rd March, before heading to Riau Islands Province at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base, Jakarta, received a courtesy call from Melinda Gates, one of the leaders of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. During the meeting, the president was accompanied by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, State Secretary Pratikno, and State-Owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno, while Melinda Gates was accompanied by officials of her foundation and a consultant in Indonesia, Maria Dina Riati Maris. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo introduced some of the cards of non-cash social assistance for less fortunate citizens in Indonesia, among others the Indonesia Smart Cards and Healthy Indonesia Cards, meant to improve the welfare of the community and the quality of human resources. The president also explained about banking services for social assistance, and Melinda Gates appreciates the non-cash social assistance program. Meanwhile, Melinda Gates, as the co-chair and trustee of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, offered assistance to the Indonesian government to develop an inclusive financial program. After the meeting, Maria Dina Riati Maris explained that the technical assistance program is to be adjusted to the direction of the national banking development. The Gates Foundation has helped develop similar programs in 7 countries, including Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Uganda. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that Melinda Gates also highly appreciated the cooperation between the University of Gajah Mada in Yogyakarta, Indonesia, and Johns Hopkins University in the United States, supported by the Gates Foundation. According to Sri Mulyani, a research on mosquitoes and dengue fever that has achieved progress is expected to be very beneficial not only for Indonesia, but for other countries that face similar problems. Melinda Gates also sees the implementation of family planning programs in Indonesia, which is considered quite successful and innovative. The program involves health workers equipped with tablet computers to be able to better serve women, especially in rural and remote areas. A day earlier, on Wednesday, 22nd March, Melinda Gates visited the Laboratory of Eliminate Dengue Project in Yogyakarta, Faculty of Medicine, Gajah Mada University. While visiting, she watched the Aedes aegypti mosquito research process with Wolbachian to prevent the spread of dengue fever. She also saw firsthand the staff conducting research under the microscope. Melinda was even willing to let her hands bitten by some mosquitoes in an experiment. In a release to the media, Melinda Gates' visit is also to study the progress of family planning in Indonesia, a country that has a long history and is regarded as one of the most successful and the National Family Planning Initiative in the world. Melinda also went to the National Youth Gathering in Yogyakarta and will attend high-level meetings to discuss family planning initiatives in Indonesia and see a variety of innovative planning programs in Yogyakarta and Jakarta. That was Focus Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan affirmed that the Giant Sea Wall project in North Jakarta must be completed immediately. Indonesia and Pakistan, which had been cooperating since long time, continue to develop or unlock the great potential possessed by both countries. The potential is the cooperation in the private sectors. Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has said that Papua will get 5% from the divestment of copper and gold miner PT Freeport Indonesia, which is required by law to release 51% of their sales to the Indonesian entities. The government is ready to build an integrated maritime affairs and fisheries center in Nunuka, North Kalimantan in 2017. The Australian Embassy in Jakarta launched a new education information center, namely the Hashtag Aussie Banget Corner at the Bina Nusantara University Anggrek Campus in West Jakarta on Thursday. The Jakarta General Election Commission KPU Jakarta has planned to implement an online system to check voters' identities for the upcoming Jakarta gubernatorial election runoff on April 19th. The United Nations Development Programme UNDP said Indonesia has been ranked 113 among 108 countries on the Human Development Index HDI comprising per capita income, life expectancy and education indicators. 44 divers cleaned up the underwater area around Nusa Dua and Tanjung Benoa, two of the most popular destinations for snorkeling and water sport in Bali. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Crystal Cave in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Kupang is the capital city of East Nusa Tenggara, which is recently overheard its name by tourists. Besides, the management of air transportation is better and orderly. The information of Kupang can be easily found to make the local government to readily welcome foreign and domestic tourists. Listener, in East Nusa Tenggara, you will find some caves which can be a choice for your destination. One of them is Crystal Cave. The cave is located at Bolok Kupang. If you depart from Kupang, it takes around 30 minutes or around 25 kilometers from El Tari International Airport. During the trip, you will enjoy beautiful scenery such as tropical forest, rocky ground, citizens' houses, as well as wide blue sea. The location of the cave, which is a little bit far from the main street, makes visitors park their vehicles at the edge of the street and then they continue the trip by trekking around 100 meters. Listen listener, the trip to the cave is quite steep and slippery. Although the track is safe, the visitors must be careful. They must go down the rocks which are arranged naturally, then go inside the dark cave. Arriving at the base of the cave, you will see the beauty of Crystal Cave. The right time to go to the inside of the cave is around 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. because if too early, sunshine do not enter into cave yet. In the afternoon, when the sun shines sharply on head, that is the right time to go inside the cave. The sun shines enters the cave gradually to give light in the cave. When past 12, the sunshine directs behind the cave. To visit Crystal Cave, we suggest you to bring your own equipment such as snorkeling equipment and watertight flashlight. It is better if you use shoes which are resistible for slippery footpath, because those shoes will be useful when going down the cave. And please do not forget to bring your own camera to take pictures of the beauty of Crystal Cave. Inside the cave, there is a pool where you can swim or dive. You will feel fresh and tense. Here, watertight flashlight is much needed because getting to the bottom, it will be darker. You can also enjoy beautiful stalactites which are formed naturally. Listener, the cave is named Crystal Cave because there is natural pool which is beautiful and sparkling because of sunshine. So it looks like crystals in water. Because of that, local people call it Crystal Cave. The lake in the cave has fresh and a little bit salty water. And not far from the cave, there is beach. Crystal Cave is a place where two springs from the beach and mountain meet. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Crystal Cave in East Nusa Tenggara. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Listener, Riau Provincial Government keeps organizing several events to boost tourist visit number to this province. After organizing Tour de Bintan 2017, the government is organizing International Barongsai Festival. Today's miscellany is to inform you about International Barongsai Festival. Listener, the Karimun Administration in Riau Province, supported by the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, is holding International Barongsai Festival for 2 days starting from March 24th until 25th, 2017. The festival is the way to boost domestic and foreign tourist visit number to Riau. According to the head of tourism promotion of Karimun Tourism and Culture Agency, Benny Yudhistira in Tanjung Balai, Karimun, for the beginning, the festival is participated by 10 teams from 3 countries, namely Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Besides, there are local teams that participate in the festival. He added that besides the Barongsai Festival, there will be Reok Festival as the additional event to entertain tourists after deciding to have holidays in Karimun, Riau Island Province, and enjoy indigenous traditional art at the same time. Benny is optimistic that the festival will be annual agenda because it has huge potential to lure tourists, especially from Singapore and Malaysia. Listener, on separate occasion, the head of tourism and culture of Karimun Administration, Surya Minsha, said that this International Barongsai Festival, which is held for the first time, is also supported by the Ministry of Tourism as the tourism agenda in Karimun Regency. He added that Barongsai was chosen because the tourists are very enthusiastic with this Barongsai, since Barongsai is only performed in Chinese New Year. Well, listeners, that was today's miscellany with the topic International Barongsai Festival. We will see you again with another interesting topic. Bye!
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian group band, Elemen, which was established in 1999. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Ku Persembahkan Nirwana. Listener, that was the first song entitled Kupersembahkan Nirwana, sung by Element Band. This song tells about love offering which is the best and the most beautiful to his lover. This song is taken from the second album of Element, which is the title of this album. The album, which contains of 11 songs, was released in 2001. In March 2002, Element received Golden Award from Universal Music Indonesia on achievement of sales over 100,000 copies of this album. In the same month, this album was released in Malaysia. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Rahasia Hati.
Waktu terus berlalu tanpa ku sadari yang ada hanya aku dan kenangan. Masih teringat jelas senyum terakhir yang kau beri untukku. Tak pernah ku mencoba dan tak ingin ku mengisi hatiku dengan cinta yang lain. Kan ku biarkan ruang hampa di dalam hidupku. Bila aku harus mencintai dan berbagi hati itu hanya denganmu. Namun bila aku harus tanpamu, akan tetap ku arungi hidup tanpa bercinta.
Listener, you have just listened to the second song entitled Rahasia Hati, which tells about fidelity in love. This song is in Element's third album entitled Paradox, which was released in August 2002 with the hit song entitled Rahasia Hati. The song was on the top of all radios through Indonesia on the event of Clear Top 10 for 3 weeks. The song was also chosen as the best video clip of Video Music Indonesia 2002. Listener, earlier, the seriousness of Element in music have been doubtful. It is because the most personnel such as Didi Riyadi, Lucky Wijatmoko, Arya Adi Prasetyo, and late Roni Setiawan did not only focus on music but also they were active as models and actors. After receiving various achievements, Didi, who gained Arman Zildjian Award as Newcomer Drummer 2002, Element Band began to be considered. Well, listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs entitled Pergilah Adinda and Cinta Tak Bersyarat. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Tak ada sedikit pun sesaku, tak bertahan dengan setiaku. Walau di akhir jalan ku harus melepaskan dirimu. Oh, ternyata tak mampu kau melihat dalamnya cintaku yang hebat, hingga ada alasan bagimu untuk tinggalkan setiamu. Saja bisa kau fahami layaknya arti kasih sejati, karena cinta yang sungguh tiada akan pernah mungkin bersyarat.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.